Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Today, you're going to make an impact. If you've worried that you don't have what it takes, if you've wondered if your business can truly change the world, I'm here to tell you today that your business is going to change the world, that it is what the world needs in order to be able to have the impact and to make the change that's needed in your world. So how am I going to do that, Steve? I'm sure that's the question that's coming through all of our minds. And the truth of the matter is that it starts by being focused and clear on our purpose. What is your one true purpose? I mean, a lot of people, we've had several different guests on this show that have talked about how important meaning is to business owners these days. You know, we had the discussion about 80% of millennials having listed that making an impact and having what they do be worthwhile is more important than how much money it makes. I know that as a woman in business, you often find yourself worrying about how much of an impact you're making, more so than you are about how much money you're actually making on the bottom line. All of those things boil down to the fight in our lives between impact and effectiveness. And today we're going to help bring those two together for you. We're going to talk about how you can make the greatest impact while simultaneously having the greatest influence on your world. I'm going to ask you to set aside one thing while you're listening, and that's a preconceived notion of what impact you're supposed to have, because I guarantee you that who you are is exactly who you need to be to make the perfect and exact impact that you need to make on the world. So hold on as we jump into a really powerful and impactful episode of Thriving Entrepreneur to help you be the greatest impact in the world that you can be today.
Welcome, my good friend, Leslie Stein. Hi, Leslie. How are you today?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
I'm so glad to be back with you. We are going to do a whole entire hour together today.
Yay! No interruptions. It'll work. It'll work.
Absolutely. So, you know, some people maybe have snuck on and listened to our last time we were together, but for the folks who didn't get a chance to, tell us a little bit about you.
All right. I always think that's such a loaded question. It's like, ooh, what's the thing that's going to be useful to people about me? Because, you know, I think just like anyone, I have all sorts of facets and different parts of my life. But I would say that the thing that has shaped me the most from my past, which I always like to share with people, is that I spent 7 years in the military. I flew helicopters. That was actually a pretty cool job. And I went to West Point, so I graduated from West Point after 4 years as a cadet there. And those were my formative years. So from the time I was 18 until I was, 29, I was in the military. So definitely shaped who I am, made me have a love for leadership and really being a servant leader. Like, it was, for me, getting to work with soldiers was one of the greatest experiences of my life. It was really amazing. So I got out of the Army, and that was a big reset for me. It's definitely a job, but it's also a lifestyle, and so everything changed. Like, I had to figure out how to dress myself now. No one was telling me to dress like a tree anymore, and I had to pick my own job, and I had to decide where to live, and I'd never had to make all those decisions. So I tried a bunch of different things. Some worked, some didn't, and I ended up basically becoming a project manager inside the mortgage industry. And I was there when the economy started to tank, and my boss said, I need you to go get some facilitation skills. So I want you to guide some conversations about what we're going to cut and what gets to stay. So it was some pretty contentious conversations that I had to be in charge of. as a facilitator and not really own the outcome, but I had to make sure that the people in the room would own the outcome and support it. So I went off and got this training for a skill set called facilitation, and I loved it. And so not only did I facilitate some of those difficult conversations, but I was doing strategic plans for different departments within the organization and basically anything I could get my hand on. Like, I worked with my condo board and all sorts of other stuff to facilitate really useful conversations. And so when I was laid off, which I eventually was, from the mortgage industry, I decided that I wanted to focus just on facilitation. So I started my own business to help people learn those skills, and when they don't have time to learn the skills themselves, I would come in, and as a professional, I would facilitate very difficult conversations. So that's kind of my roundabout path, and along the way, I've done a bunch of other things. I studied shamanism, and I have gone to Peru and studied down there. I've taken a yoga teacher training class. I've run a half Ironman, and I like to do fitness-related stuff, so that's it in a nutshell, Steve, I'd say.
Well, and a little bird told me that, you slowed down to the point where you're working like, what, 20-hour days now instead of 26?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
In all seriousness, people, I mean, I don't know how Leslie does the schedule that at least she was doing. And I do know that some of those times it has involved even sleeping in a car. So
Yes, I have been known to do that on after red eye flights. I just pull up into a parking lot and curl up with my airplane stolen blanket.
The important part of that, though, I think really is what are you committed to? You know, I mean, what are you willing to do in order to live the life you want, have the things you want, be the person you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think what I'm discovering right now is that answer changes over time. So where I used to be totally willing to, take a red eye and sleep in the car and then jump in and do another job a few years ago, right now my focus feels like it's shifting because I'm getting married this summer and I want to be home more, right? I want to have a successful relationship. So I'm actually working on kind of dismantling my business as it exists now and looking at what's next for me. So how much work do I need to do to support the life that I really want to have? So it's a challenging time, but I'm finding it interesting. Challenging, but interesting for sure.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge that, that making this switch you're experiencing right now?
So I think the biggest challenge is, a lot of people talk about like making decisions that aren't based on your ego, right? Don't be controlled by your ego. And I think the ego, just like anything, is a tool. It can be useful, but it can also be overused. And so what I'm finding is that my ego is having a really hard time letting go of all the successes that I've had and wanting to keep building on those and keep the momentum. But my soul is ready to slow down. My soul really wants to, get married, and we want to try and start a family. So I'm 41, so we want to start it pretty quick after we get married this summer. And that's scary because for 41 years, my value has all come from producing and making stuff. And so now I'm suddenly trying to like slam on the brakes and say, maybe it's time for me to stay at home and be a wife and mom for a while. And it's a little scary to think. At first, I was afraid of what other people would think if I did that. But then I realized it was more about what I was thinking of myself when I started thinking about making that change.
Well, and, I think a big piece of that comes down to our ability to judge ourselves by ourselves, what's important to us, rather than we tend to become very judgmental of ourselves because of something outside of us. Like you said, what are other people going to say about me if I make this change? Rather than really having the number one thing be, how do I make me happy?
Well, and it's a little bit scary. It's funny. I went to a yoga class this morning because my chiropractor recommended going to this vinyasa flow yoga class. And so I looked on the schedule and I found one for this morning. And the teacher was a teacher I was familiar with. I had actually observed some of his classes when I was doing my teacher training myself. So I, dawdle over to the gym. Like, my ego is pretty confident that I know yoga. Like, I'm a trained teacher. I've taken his class before. I got this, right? Well, I show up, and first off, the room is so packed. Literally, people were inches apart and still trying to squeeze their mats closer together so we could get the room as full as possible. Second of all, the room was heated, which I'm not used to. So it was a different kind of vinyasa flow yoga. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, like heat's on. It was like a kind of a layer of pressure. And the teacher came over and said hi to me, and he goes, have you been to this class before? And I said, no. And he goes, it's very different than the other classes I teach. So you're going to find I won't be giving a lot of instructions. The music will be very loud, and there will be a few instructions. But you're basically on your own. And don't feel bad if you have to look around, see what other people are doing. And so I still felt pretty good until it all got started, and then I was really struggling. The heat was more than I was used to. The flow, the sequence was much, much faster, and I was lost about half the time for the first 30 minutes. And he gave this really interesting direction, which was stop worrying about being perfect at every pose and start focusing on what it's like when you go up and you go down, like when you're feeling good and when you're struggling. That's what you're here to perfect, is riding those waves. And that really helped. So for the last half of the class, I stopped trying to worry about what I looked like compared to everybody else. I just asked myself the question, can I be satisfied doing my best on the mat today, whatever that looks like? And so it became a very different class when I got to determine what my best was today. And it was, I will say, it was probably one of the harder classes I have ever done. And when I first started, I thought, I will never come back to this class. But by the end of it, I thought, you know, this is a challenge, and I think I would actually be up for the challenge again. So it kind of all shifted while I was on there. And I feel like life is that way. It's like, it's not about being perfect in every pose or perfect in every task. It's about, can you ride the ups and downs and be happy with who you are, whether you're in a peak or in a valley.
Mm. I love that statement he said, stop worrying about what you look like when you're going up or going down.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
focus on how do you feel. Wow.
Yeah.
That we could apply that to just about it. That's one of those like plug and play kind of statements. You know what I mean?
Totally. Right. Well, I mean, and how often have you, I mean, I know I'm guilty of it, but how often have you not done something because you were afraid of how it would make you look? But in reality, you knew it would make you feel good. And it was, you know, or satisfied or fulfilled. But you didn't do it because of outside perceptions, you know. I think we all fall victim to that.
Well, and it's one of the things that we talk so often about to groups that we're talking to, is that your message isn't about you. It's about the people that you're serving. But when you're in that ego and you're so worried about, you know, what are people thinking about me? You're missing the point of why you're there to begin with.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting is when I looked around the class, like the two girls on either side of me both had to move their mats to make space for me. So first of all, I was just grateful that they had made space. And so I had lots of different thoughts during the class, like, wow, these girls made space for me. Like at one point I was so hard that I actually thought about just leaving, because it was that hard. And I thought, you know what, these girls actually adjusted so I could have the space to be here. So that would kind of be disrespectful to like how much I caused people to move so I could be here. So I need to just stick it out, even if that means being in child's pose the whole time. So I was kind of just thinking about, in service of, even though it was only like a momentary relationship, it's not like I'm lifelong friends with these people, but in service of the relationship that we had created just at the beginning of the class, you know, I shouldn't leave. So I stuck it out. And as I started looking around, when I would see another yogi in the class go to child's pose or take a break, I thought, oh my gosh, thank you for doing that, because that just felt like permission for me to do the same. So it was like I was waiting for other people to not be perfect so that I didn't have to be perfect. And so I thought, well, what if that's a shared responsibility by all of us? You know, when I'm tired, why don't I just take a break? Maybe somebody's looking at me and needing that permission right now.
Permission to not be perfect, which, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've done this show for like a year and a half now, and just about everybody will, you know, at some point their story says, and then I came to this thing that I knew that if I shared it, everybody was going to feel differently about me. And it ends up actually being the thing that they always end up saying. And then when I did share it, that's when, you know, my business took off. My life went the direction it was supposed to go for, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really funny that I did a TEDx talk last year, and kind of the theme was the inside journey of leadership. So as leaders, and I believe that everyone is a leader. The way you live your life is your leadership. You're leading by example. So anything you do is kind of an agreement or permission for people to do the same. Like you're authorizing that or you're endorsing that in some way. And things you don't do are the same. It's like I leave that out consciously or sometimes unconsciously. The thing at the very end of the TED Talk, I said, it's really interesting that moment that you're speaking of that almost everyone has had before they've gone to a bigger level of success is vulnerability, being willing to share their imperfection. And when we see other people doing it, it looks like strength. It's like breathtaking. Wow, how could that person share that? That's amazing. But when we step up to the mic and try and do it ourselves, it feels like weakness. So what it looks like from the outside and how it feels on the inside do not match. And so I think that's what keeps a lot of people from being vulnerable themselves, is that it doesn't feel the way it looks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I remember I was coaching somebody and they were like, you know, I'm so nervous about getting up and sharing this in front of the people. And the first thing I told them is like, you know, I don't know anybody, whether they're high-end performers, pastors, you know, professional speakers. I don't know anybody that doesn't have that moment of, yeah, but what if this time? Just before they get out. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. It's like your ego has to get placed off to the side if you're really, truly going to be able to go out there and serve.
Absolutely. And it is. There is that element of like, what if this is the time that it doesn't work out? And what I tell people is, you know, it's like butterflies in your stomach are normal. And in fact, they're so normal, I can't tell you how to get rid of them because I don't think they ever go away. But what I can do is help you put some techniques and tactics in place to help them fly in formation, right? So they're not going anywhere, but can you make them effective instead of having them fight against you?
Make the best use of all that you are and all that you can be. Be the best you in everything that you do. I think that's such great advice. We're going to come back to Leslie here in just a couple minutes. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maeshe Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife, Sharon, had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realize there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I'm here with Leslie Stein, and today we're talking to you about facilitating the greatest impact you can have on the world. How can you be the most powerful, potent, effective version of yourself?
So let's talk about facilitating. Let's help facilitate some people that are listening to the show right now. Everybody has something new that they're going to do. And, you know, and we always fall into the trap of, you know, having to have to make it huge. I mean, it could be something as simple as, you know, hey, this week I want to, you know, go for a walk, or I want to, you know, take time off to reward myself for what I did, whatever that something is. What are some of the foundational elements of facilitating the next thing you're going to do?
Oh, that's such a brilliant question. I love it. So there's a formula that I teach in one of my classes. It's called the Power Start, right? And so each letter stands for something. So I think the first three letters are really useful here. So the first letter is P for in power, and that stands for purpose. Why am I about to do the thing I want to do? So you're not just going on a walk. The walk is a practice to help you achieve a value, or to live a value that's important to you, or a principle that's important to you. So the purpose of the walk isn't just to walk. It's to have a healthier heart, or to do something. Lose weight for your wedding. That's my current reason for walking, right? So there's a purpose. And if we leave stuff at the level of the what, and don't dig down to the purpose, it's easy to cut the what off. It's like, eh, I don't want to walk today. But if you say, I don't want to have a healthy heart today, or I don't want to look good in my wedding dress, you know, when the time comes, like, that's a whole different twist on it, right? So being really clear about the purpose behind what you're doing. The second letter is O, and that stands for outcome. Like, what do you want at the end of this? Are you producing something? So going on a walk may produce endorphins, or it may burn a certain amount of calories. Like, it's the thing, the tangible thing that you're trying to create for yourself. And sometimes it's not tangible, it's more of a feeling. I know I feel better after I walk, and I want that feeling today. In fact, I heard a professional recently that said, somebody asked her, because she was, you know, really successful and fit and everything else, and they said, how many days a week do you work out? And she said, only on the days I want to feel good. So she's trying to produce a feeling, right? So working out produces a feeling. So being clear on those things that it'll produce for you, those outcomes. And then the last letter that we'll cover is the W, which stands for what's in it for me. And so when I teach facilitators, it's, you know, you got to know that answer for the audience, what's in it for them. But when you're doing it for yourself, it's what's in it for me. So what if I achieve that purpose? If my heart is healthy, what does that mean? Well, it means I'm around for my husband or my wife or my kids. It means that when somebody has an opportunity to travel, I'm well enough to take it. Or, you know, whatever it means for you, it takes the purpose or the down to a lower level. Like, what's really, let's peel the layers and see what's important about that. So if you can kind of give that, I say give it a power start, POW, I think it helps you understand why you're doing a task on your to-do list, not just checking it off blindly.
Absolutely. Yep, we just wrote your new book. It's putting the POW in your power start.
I like it.
I mean, I think that's so important, though, too. You know, why is the purpose, as opposed to what is the purpose, which is really good to bring out. Outcome are you looking for? And, you know, what's in it for me? What is the feeling? What is the, you know, what is the why of the why, if you will?
Yeah, it's the benefit, like, so the longer-term benefit. So you can think of the P, the purpose, as, like, the current benefit. What's the benefit I get today? Like, I feel better. And when I feel better, what's possible is more like the what's in it for me. So it could be more of a future looking, if I achieve this purpose every day for a week, what's possible? If I achieve it every day for a month, what's possible? And so it can kind of help you draw a picture of what that longer term outcome might look like.
So talk to the person who just failed. You know what I mean? You got on the scale and you gained weight instead of lost. I mean, I think that's probably the more, the most tangible all of us have dealt with.
Yeah. Have you been in my bathroom this week? You would know that I've just had that problem, right? Traveling and eating way too many brownies at my sister's house. So it's interesting. I've just been in dialogue with a woman. We're putting a talk together that's happening later this month about overcoming obstacles. And so she said, you know, when I get punched or I'm down or whatever, my reaction is to spring up as quickly as possible, right? So if you look down on the scale and it's 2 or 3 or 4, 10 pounds more than you were hoping, and that's like getting knocked down, she said, just get back up as quickly as possible. You know, get on a walk, do something quickly. And so I was like, that's really interesting. My gut reaction is, well, what brought me here? Why am I 10 pounds heavier than I wanted to be? And so instead of popping up so quickly, sometimes when we fail, it means that we were maybe doing something that wasn't what we really wanted to be doing. So wallow around in that, root around, see what's of value. What's good about being a few pounds heavier today than I intended? So for me, the process that I went through was, well, what does that mean? It meant that I actually didn't count calories while I was hanging out with my sister and my nephew. It meant that I ate cotton candy with him and we could make a mess. And it meant that we baked brownies together. And that was actually worth the few pounds that I gained. Now, I know in the long term, I don't want to keep those pounds, but it gave me a break. It's like, I can't be the same all the time. It let me honor that something was different this weekend than it was in my normal life. So sometimes with failure, I'm like, just give yourself a break, see what was valuable about the failure, and then recommit to success. Because failure isn't a different path than success, it's part of the path to success.
Ooh, say that again.
Failure is not a different path from success. So I think people think there's a fork in the road. I can either gain weight or lose weight, right? And that it's one or the other, but it's not. Failure is part of success, right? Success really only comes when you fail and pick yourself back up. That's success. Getting it perfect is not success.
That is so powerful. Failure is not part of the path of success or a different path of success. It is part of the path of success. I love that because, I mean, that is so powerful. Imagine, everybody think about it just for a second. Imagine if you can take a failure, just pick one because you know you've already got it coming to mind. So let's just get real, you know. Just pick one, not 20. We don't have time for that.
just one.
Just pick one. Okay, now write it down. We're going to teach you a little skill here too, because writing it down is going to make this more powerful for you. Write it down. Yeah. Now, write in really big letters behind, beneath it, beside it, depends on what the paper you put it on looks like. What's just one thing, the very first thing that comes to your mind that could be good from that? Just one. Again, we're not going to ask you to do 20. We don't have time for that in the show, but just one. Mm-hmm. Now, cross the failure out and circle the one thing you got from it. I mean, I love that. You talked about, you know, you gain the weight. And, of course, always we all beat ourselves up. I mean, I've shared my weight loss journey. My weight journey would be a better way of saying it, you know, because I lost 70 pounds and then gained back like 50 of it here recently. I got on the scale. It was a week ago this past Monday from the day we're recording this. And I got on the scale and I was 435. Which is like 15 pounds below my maximum I ever was. And that was a gut shot. You know what I mean? But what I did that was last Monday. The next Monday, yesterday, again, like you said, as of the days we're recording this, I actually had lost 17 pounds.
Wow.
Because I decided to do something. And it is really all about that. Are you going to wallow in the ick? Or are you just going to move forward? And the best way to move forward is to find something good. I like what you said about the, hey, you know, I got to spend time and, you know, we got to eat cotton candy and work together and make some brownies and stuff like that. You know, those memories, you know, the pounds can go away, but the memories, you don't want those to go away.
Well, and it's, you know, especially with weight, because it's such a personal thing, it can feel like such a failure, like, you know, and you compare yourself to other people in their journeys. I don't think we give ourselves a break when we're truly committed. It's like you need, when you inhale, you eventually have to exhale. So it's like you can breathe in all the good habits, but every once in a while, you got to just have a dang brownie because they're good. And then you go back onto the healthy eating track. So, you know, it was funny. I got back and I was not happy when I weighed myself on Monday. But, you know, I was like, you know, I'm going to eat real healthy today. So I did, and I went to that yoga class. And by the time I went and did my weigh-in at the gym, because I'm doing a 90-day challenge right now, I was actually less than when I started the trip before seeing my nephew. So it fluctuates. Like, these things go up and down, and can you be happy? You know, just like the yoga teacher said, can you learn to be happy in the peaks and in the valleys? Mm. That's the secret, right? Learning to be happy in the fluctuations.
Absolutely.
Wow. Can you be happy in the peaks and in the valleys? Are you only happy when things are up? Or do you understand that everything in life is a cycle? There are times when you wake up in the morning and it's bright and it's sunny outside. And there are other times when you wake up and, let's be honest, it's raining cats and dogs. But can you be happy in the fluctuations? Think about that. We'll be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realized there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Leslie Stein, and we are talking to you today about facilitating your success, being successful in both the peaks and the valleys in life. I love that whole concept. Are you committed to your success? And do you know that when good times come, you need to celebrate them? And when the bad times come, you need to understand that that couple extra pounds you put on, that bad day you had, that is just a moment in time, and it is not the definition for your life, it is simply a peak or a valley.
Well, let's then flip the other direction. It's easy for those of us that I hope are upbeat and positive people. We see ourselves that way, so we're going to say that's who we are, right?
Sure.
But everybody has down moments, and there's somebody listening right now that said, "Yeah, well, that's all well and good for you, but you know, it doesn't really work for me." I know you've been through some down times in your life. What would you go back and say to that, and I'll let you pick what low point, whether it's the lowest ever or whatever, what would you say to that person if you knew then what you now know?
I think it's the first thing I would say is just breathe. Like, I know I personally go into my head like nobody's business. And I overanalyze, and I'm like, well, what if I've done this, and what if I've done that? And what that does is it takes me out of the present moment. I either go backwards trying to fix something that's behind me, or I'm worrying about what's ahead of me. And, you know, a lot of people say that those two things don't really exist. Like, the past is over. You can never go back to it. It's not something you can actually visit. And the future isn't here yet, so you're really just using your imagination. And a lot of us use our imaginations to create a very worrisome future. So breathing is the simple tool I found to just bring me back to the present moment. And when I get really present and I just breathe, I'm like, you know what? I'm alive. My heart is beating. I'm breathing. And then I just start from that. It's like, okay, in my body, it's like, what's one good thing that's going on in my life right now? One thing I'm proud of, or one person who supports me. And I just, it's that one thing that re-anchors me. And so if I can focus on that, and I try and just think about that, what's great about that person, and, you know, what can we do together, and so then I kind of find I'm building a happier future. My brain has to go back out there. But for me, it's really just breathe and be where you are now. Don't worry about where you have to be in 5 months or even 5 minutes. Just be here.
Well, and you know, I mean, share with us just a little bit. I mean, you talked about going to West Point. I know enough about it from a conceptual standpoint, but I mean, explain to people just how low some of the low, hardest moments of that are like.
I mean, how low can one go, Steve? That's the question. It can be a little demoralizing. And for me, I struggled with weight at West Point. So not my proudest moment when it was announced to my entire company that I wasn't present at formation because I had to go to the fat for a weigh-in. So nobody was explaining to me what nutrition, that it was different for men and women. So they were serving a diet that was meant to support men, and I ate the same amount as the men, which was clearly not a good idea because I can't burn that many calories. So I had no one educating me, but plenty of people telling me what I was doing wrong. So I spent a lot of time during those 4 years, like, questioning myself, questioning my abilities. And it's like, you're already doing that to yourself. And then to have other people magnifying it, pointing out everything you're doing wrong, is really frustrating, right? So for me, physically, that's where I struggled. I was never a fast runner. I always struggled with the weight standards. So what I did was I tried to do the best I could in that area, and then I just shined academically. So I found the thing that I was good at, and I put more of my attention onto that than the thing that I was never going to be the top of the heap at. You know, it's like, I'm never going to win the race. As long as I don't, you know, fall over and die, I call that a victory. So just run one foot in front of the other. But in academics, pour the extra attention that I have, the extra passion that I have into that, and because that's where I can shine. And so I kind of took that principle with me out of the academy, and it's like, if there's two options, and I used to be the person who would focus on the one that I was weakest at because I needed to fix it. That needs to be better. Now I go the other way. I'm like, what am I great at? Let me go a little deeper in that. Let me expand on that. And I think that has helped me become successful in my career, is that I found the thing that I can do better than anyone else, and I just keep doing that and expanding that and growing that.
Well, and that goes right back to what we were talking about in the beginning. It's about, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on all of the things your mind has said, or are you committed to putting the best you out there? You know, I mean, so often we look at a perfect example is somebody like Oprah. I mean, Oprah mm-hmm. has done amazing things in the world. And a lot of times people want to be the next Oprah. Well, you know, mm-hmm. conceptually speaking, I get that. There is a void that needs to be filled where she is. But what they really need to be is the best of them. Because Oprah does yeah. Oprah really well. She's got that one down. We don't need yep. Oprah Part 2. What we do right. need, though, is you.
Yes. And you know what's really interesting? That reminds me of something one of my teachers said, a woman named Robin Wright, who's a fantastic author and just does really cool things on social media and bringing awareness to different social issues. I was doing some work with her, and she said, you know, I was having this struggle because I could feel that something new was trying to happen in my life. Like, more was wanted of me by the world. It wasn't even me in the driver's seat. It was like the world saying, hey, here's an opening for you. Are you going to take it? And I wasn't taking it. And so I was working with her to kind of ask, like, why is this so hard? And I feel like, you know, I'm just failing at life right now. And she said, well, what's happening is you don't want to let go of the old version of yourself because it's a really good version and you like it. So unless you can let go of that, you're never going to become the new version of yourself that's possible. And I think for a lot of us, like, we had to go through iterations, like getting through the military and finally making it past the stage where I doubted myself or thought my body wasn't good enough. Like, it was easy to let go of those versions because they didn't feel very good. But once I got to be successful and really liked who I was, letting go of a version like that to see what the new version is really hard. So for me, that was the place where I went, like, wow, well, is there an ending to this? Like, you ever just get to settle in and be comfortable, or are you constantly like a snake, kind of, you know, we shed our skins and become new versions of ourselves just like a snake? That process never ends until you die. Mm. And you start dying when you're not willing to let go of the old.
Well, and it's like the old saying, the first stage for a fruit of rotting is when it gets ripe. As long as the fruit is green, it's growing. But as soon as it's ripe, you know, you got to pick it and eat it immediately. It's going to start rotting right there.
Hmm. That's fantastic. Yeah, it grows. It's green while it's growing. And so I feel like as long as we can find a piece of ourselves that is still going to grow, so it changes at different parts of our lives. Like, I really focused on the career part for a long time. And now the part of me that's green is being a wife and maybe being a mom if we start a family. So as scary as it is to let go of this very ripe career I have, it's going to start rotting anyway, right? It's reached ripeness. Like, it's not green anymore, but marriage and family is very green for me. So it's like, well, I'm ready to jump into that place, you know, and maybe coming back to the career, you know, 10 years from now, and I reengage, it's a whole different career, and now it's green again. So unlike fruit, I think we can kind of come in and out of the greenness and the ripeness if we're willing to let, but see, it's hard to let go of something ripe to focus on something green. Mm. That's a good analogy, Steve. I like that.
So what are we focusing on? What is the thing that we have at the center of our gaze? I mean, I'm sure there's got to be an analogy from when you were learning how to shoot that talks about how to really be able to hit the best part of, you know, the bullseye on the target.
Mm. Well, it's funny because for me, when you were saying that, what it goes back to is the breathing. They don't pull the trigger while you're in the middle of an inhale or an exhale. So you take one full cycle, like inhale, so see what you need to do, exhale, let go of what you don't need, and then pull the trigger. So I often say to people, don't make a decision when you're in the high-end excitement of something, like, oh my God, that was the most amazing speaker I ever heard. I have to run to the back of the room and buy this stuff right now. Also, don't make your decision when you're at the lowest, like, this sucks, this isn't working, I hate it, like, this is the worst day ever. Neither of those are, it's like you're in the inhale or the exhale. Get all the way through one or the, you know, the other, and then pause. And in that stillness, it's easier to hit the target, make the decision, and go through a whole cycle. Don't try and make your decision in the middle of the cycle.
Mm. I mean, think about that for a minute. How many decisions have we made in life from either a really high point or a really low point?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's typically when we do want to make those decisions. You know, it's like, yay, I'm really excited about this. I just went to this awesome conference and I'm so pumped up.
Yeah.
I'm going to make $1 million this year, you know, and then we make all these plans and, you know, or the other way, you know, it's like, oh, I just got a foreclosure notice. And so now I have to figure out a way to make this money immediately or I'm going to lose my house. In both of those incidences, taking that opportunity to breathe really, really does help.
Well, I always like to ask myself, especially when I'm like training for a race or something, don't sign up for the next race the day you cross the finish line because you're going to think you're made of, you know, you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Like, oh my God, I just finished my first marathon or oh, I just finished my first half Ironman. I want to do another one. Wait a few days before you decide that. Let the soreness from that one set in. Like, let the mind catch up from that high that you've just experienced. Because it's a drug, right? Those like endorphins are a drug. So your brain is actually in an altered state when you're all excited at the end of a conference or you've just finished the cross the finish line, right? Likewise, I find that on my worst training days that I'm saying, why the hell did I sign up for this stupid race anyway? It's pitch black and cold out and I have to go run 10 miles. I don't want to do this. Forget it. I'm not doing the race. That's not the time to make the decision either. Get through the run. You're already committed to the race. Get through the run, and then 2 days after that, decide, do you want to quit or not? Because you'll probably look back and go, I was kind of a badass. Like, I finished a race or a, you know, training run in 10 miles, you know, in cold, dark weather. And so there's benefits to waiting beyond the peaks and the valleys. You learn about yourself in the moments after the peaks and valleys.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here with Leslie on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Well, Leslie, you've given us such great stuff, and I want everybody to have an opportunity to know how they can work with you. I mean, I know that you're talking about the change in your life, so there's some of that that is going to be interesting here, but what can a person do if they want to reach out to you?
Sure. Right now, for the time being, my website is lesliestein.com. And that is the best place. There's a contact form. You can email me from there. You know, I occasionally take on a new coaching client if we really click and it's a good fit. So that's always an option. And I'll probably continue doing that even if I stop working traditionally. And the other place people can find me is I'm a faculty member at a place called the Agile Coaching Institute. So agilecoachinginstitute.com. And I often teach classes for them, and I'm actually teaching some this year, it looks like, in New Zealand and Stockholm, Sweden. So that job takes me kind of all over the place and then all over the U.S. as well. So if people happen to live in an agile environment and want some training about how to be better facilitators, coaches, any of that within that environment, come on over and see me.
Sounds good. LeslieStein.com. It's LeslieStein. STEIN.com. Mm-hmm. You know, and Leslie's on Facebook too, so you can look up Leslie Stein on Facebook. And even if
especially, especially if they want to see pictures of my wedding this summer that will be in a castle in Ireland. So that's where I'm probably going to share most of the fun stuff is on Facebook. So please come find me and let's play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can guarantee you that whether a hardworking wife and mom or a sleeping in her car after a red-eye facilitator, that Leslie's going to put some great stuff out on Facebook and that it will it will really improve your life. So let's leave everybody with something solid that they can really grab a hold of today. What's something tangible that a person can do right now to apply all that we've been talking about?
So one of my favorite teachers said this phrase that I'm about to tell you. And it really resonates with me because, like you said, some people are already, they're feeling good and things are going great, and other people, that's not true for them right now. And everything in life is a choice. So those are both true. It's great today and it's horrible today. But what you decide to focus on is what matters. And so the phrase that this teacher said that always resonated with me was, when you look outside, do you see bright sunshine or do you see a dirty window? And so whether life is full of sunshine for you right now or there's a big old clot of dirt on your window, you don't have to stay focused on, you know, the dirt. If you are ready to look past it, there's sunshine out there. That's still the truth, too. You just have to decide to shift your focus. So bright sunshine or dirty window, it's all up to you.
In the end, you need to understand that whatever you feel, feelings are valid. And there are no wrong feelings. The question then becomes, that's why we have a brain. That's why, there's something beyond just the reptilian, whatever you feel, that's what you do. You know, you see something and you're hungry and therefore you eat it, you know, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have a brain that has the ability to say, yeah, I feel angry, lonely, tired, whatever, but now I want to think. What else is there that I can do? That's why I love so much that thing you were saying earlier about the whole taking it and really looking at what is the value in the failure and really turning that failure into something positive.
Well, and that's where it's like sometimes if you're the kind of person with a hard time seeing the sunshine because the dirt is on your window, maybe the question is, how do I clean the dirt? If that's the first thing my eye sees, what do I need to do differently in my life so that I can see the sunshine more clearly? It's not that the people who see it more clearly don't have dirt. They just choose not to engage in the dirt. They look around it. They open the window. They break the window. They get out the Windex, right? They have tools for addressing the dirt or ways of looking past it. And so we all have that capacity. And so that's why it's always been one of my favorite phrases. And when I'm being grumpy, sometimes I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking at the dirt. What's the value in the dirt for me right now?
And some people need to just learn, like, a lot of our moms were this way because it was just the way life was back when they were kids. Sometimes the best way to see the dirty window is just to grab a rag and clean it. Not because there's anybody out there that's like, I hope tomorrow I get to clean my whole house. You know, they're just excited about it. There probably are actually people that feel that way. But anyway, but it's just simply a matter of once you've cleaned it, then the dirt's gone.
Absolutely. So that's the challenge of life. Like the dirt's there. Like, how do I clean it? Like, it's different for everybody. But if you're willing to engage in the conversation and the internal dialogue is like, how can I clean the dirt today? You'll find a way, but you have to be willing to ask the question.
So I want to go back real quick before we end here. And I want to tell the people our POW again, one more time from the Power Start formula. P is purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? O is the outcome. What's the outcome you're expecting? And W is identifying what's in it for me. That's really awesome, Leslie. That's very, very powerful.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad. It's one of my favorite formulas.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we got through the whole show just like we promised everybody we were going to with no recording errors. Thanks so much. I'm so excited to see on Facebook all the stuff about your wedding at the castle.
Thank you. I couldn't be more excited. It's like, and I just want to give this shout out to anybody who's single out there. It took me 40 years to find this guy. I've been single for 40 years. I finally found him. So happy endings do exist. Real love is out there. So, you know, don't give up hope.
It is so important that you really do remember that in everything that you're doing in life. Don't give up hope. Know that life has plans and purpose, and that the times that you despair, that there really is something more, something better, something greater for you. I really hope that we did help you facilitate your success today, that you facilitated within yourself a belief that you are worth it, that you have purpose, that you can control and create outcomes, and know for your customer as well as for yourself, what's in it for me, that you can really bring that pow to your business. I really love that phrase. And I really, really encourage you today to really take some time to really invest in facilitating your success, in believing in yourself, and then being the best version of you that you can be. You really are here for a reason on this planet. You really do have the ability to make a huge impact in your world. Don't critique that impact. Don't allow yourself to fall into the trap that we all have fallen into, so no judgment here, but the trap where you judge yourself by somebody outside of yourself. Because in the end, all you can be is the best version of you. Go through life with the feeling and the sense of purpose that says, I've got this. Not that, you know, you have to be conceited, but remember, true humility is having a right perspective of yourself. What that means is that you should be absolutely 100% confident in the fact that you can do you, because nobody else can. Nobody can be you, can do you, can live the life that you were put on this planet to live like you can. I really believe in you. I know you can do it. I love bringing guests like Leslie and so many of the other guests that we've had here on the show to be able to encourage you, as well as hopefully inspire you to really go for it, to really live that life full, filled, overflowing with the purpose and with your destiny. Remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. I want you to know, I want you to take surety and confidence in it, that Kathy and I are here every day of your life to help you live as a thriving entrepreneur. Believe that. Take that inside of you and just take that to the bank, that your purpose, your destiny is ready and it's time for it to shine. WeHelpYouThrive.com. My wonderful wife, Kathy, would love to talk to you. She personally is sponsoring the show right now to bring to you impactful people like Leslie Stein, that she's introduced to me, so that you can be the best you you can be and shine you to the world that needs you and is looking for you. Until then, live as a thriving entrepreneur and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've you've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.